The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Walden University Graduate Degrees Online, working to help students achieve their vision of success. Walden University, waldenu.edu.
It seems entirely possible, standing on top, that this is a place angels would land. It's an altar, 1,500 feet in the air, surrounded by the yellow and red walls of the canyon that are another 500 feet higher. It feels like all the energy coming off these walls is focused on this spot. It knocks you over just looking at them.
Utah's Zion National Park attracts over 2.5 million people each year. Serious hikers make the trek along a steep trailhead up to a place called Angel's Landing. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast, and I'm Samantha Brown. Each week, we bring you pieces about people and place. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Up now, Angel's Landing, produced by Scott Carrier with Hearing Voices.
You used to be able to drive right to the base of Angel's Landing, but now you have to take the caterpillar-like shuttle bus from the new visitor center.
This little stone building on our right was the first visitor center in Zion National Park. It had about 15 visitors per day then. Now we have about 2.7 million visitors each year.
The road follows the Virgin River up Zion Canyon. The sides of the canyon are like the cliff faces of Yosemite, only the rock here is yellow and red sandstone, 2,000 feet high and sometimes arched at the top. It feels like being inside a huge body. The canyon walls are the ribcage spread open, and Angel's Landing, where we're going, is like the heart.
This is the grotto trailhead for Angel's Landing. Angel's Landing is a difficult hike to some. It takes about 4 hours round trip, and plenty of water if you do go on this hike. You're going to access those trails today. Go to the rear of the bus, go right, across the road and the bridge.
From the river, we look pretty much straight up and see where we're going. The top of a thin red mesa that stands alone in the middle of the canyon, 1,500 feet above our heads.
Hi.
The people walking up are sweaty and doubtful. The people coming down are smiling and happy.
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
What's it like getting up there? What's the trail like?
The trail's pretty paved. It is strenuous, like they tell you in the magazine. But the first part's just kind of steep and hot, and the last part is on the chain. You got to drop off on either side. And as long as you have a good balance, you can make it. But, this family here, he has a couple of kids. They made it all the way to the top, so... All right.
How old are you?
I think, 11.
Right, good. How was it?
How old are you, Jacob?
It was really good. Seven. It was awesome.
Did you go all the way up to Angel's Landing?
It was kind of scary in some parts.
We passed two couples from France and two couples from Japan, as well as the guy who operates the elevator at the Shalimar Hotel in Las Vegas. We leave him where the chains start, trying to decide whether he wants to go up or down. The trail from here is more like climbing up the edge of a knife, so the Park Service has installed a chain you can hold on to keep from flying off the mountain. We get passed on this part by four BYU co-eds, followed by a young man quoting Henry V.
Rather, proclaim it throughout my host that he which hath no stomach for this fight, let him depart. His passports have been made, crowns for a convoy.
There are good, wide steps chopped into the sandstone. But if you tripped in certain places and let go of the chain, it'd be like falling off the Empire State Building. Far below, the Caterpillar shuttle bus inches along the river road. There's a crowd on top, a party of people who don't know each other and will never see each other again, all high on gravity, mostly half-clothed college students, but also a barbarian hiker with leather boots worn out in the Alps, and a nurse from Belgium carrying a copy of Desert Solitaire in her backpack. It seems entirely possible, standing on top, that this is a place angels would land. It's an altar, 1,500 feet in the air, surrounded by the yellow and red walls of the canyon that are another 500 feet higher. It feels like all the energy coming off these walls is focused on this spot. It knocks you over just looking at them. The sun starts setting. The people leave. We stay and wait for a sign from the supernatural world. When we listen closely, we think we hear the sound of the canyon humming, and then realize it's the sound of the shuttle bus resonating against the walls of the canyon. Then we remember we have to ride that bus. We pack up and run down, barely making the last bus of the day.
This bus is headed back to the visitor center.
There are more stories like these at the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. You can even write your own review and help get more good work on the radio. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to saving the last great places on Earth, and is funded by Visa. Find us online at nature.org/stories. Send us your thoughts and feedback to podcasts@tnc.org. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. I'll be back next week with a new Nature Stories podcast.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the completely redesigned 300 horsepower MDX. More information is available at Acura.com.